Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we just thank you for all the great and wonderful things that are happening. It's just amazing, Lord, is the only word I can use to describe what's going on in the world today that you're doing. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight you're going to lead us and guide us into it. And it's going to be a wonderful time together in love. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to participate in some way, form, or fashion, Lord. And we thank you for that. Lord, our eyes are locked on you. And if they're locked on you, Lord, we can't go wrong. We praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all the healings that have taken place and going to take place, and all the deliverances and all the salvations. And we praise you for that, Lord. We just give you glory and honor for all the things that you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, has anybody else got a prayer request? Look, Kayla. Look at you, girl. She's so pretty. Golly, she's got blue eyes. Those look like brown eyes. Life's wrong. Okay, anybody got a prayer request? Testimony. I don't have a song. Yeah, probably. I kind of figured that. Guess the lighting, she said. Okay, Julie. Has anybody got anything they'd like to share before we have our praise song? All right, let me get her ready to go here. All right, you ready? Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead, Teresa.
I would like to pray against that Arctic. That Arctic blast that's coming in. I've continued to pray against it. I've continued to pray that it's not coming in our area, you know, in the area of God's people. It's not coming, you know, it's not coming around me or my family, you know, my kids' families. It's not coming around God's people, you know, that, you know, God, please don't let it run through here is what I'm saying in Jesus' name. And God, amen. Thank you for nullifying the chemtrails in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And, you know, and so on like that. And so I just think, we as God's people should, you know, at least request our Heavenly Father who controls the weather if he could, you know, keep it from stealing, killing, and destroying God's people.
Amen. Well, we can do that because he's given us dominion. He's given us authority. And so we can also do that as well. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this polar vortex to be dissipated right now in Jesus' name. Yes. That it's not going to be anything like that, what they say it's going to be. And I thank you, Father, that the weather is not going to get real cold, and it's not going to incapacitate people from getting to their jobs and back. And we thank you, Father, that nobody's going to get hurt by it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for just getting rid of it.
Yeah.
We praise you, Father, that it is done in Jesus' name. Yeah. We send our angels out there right now to get rid of it.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Now, David and I did thank that you. This morning, so
amen.
It's done. It's a done deal. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Did you blow it up north?
Well, we specifically said make a beeline to Missy's house.
right.
we told him to just do away with it completely.
Okay. I have a prayer request for Fudge. She has this one tooth that's loose, and I want to pray for that to be healed in the name of Jesus. Command that tooth to be tightened up, and to be restored in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. And, she's got a full head of teeth that are just stout, and they're not going to come out ever. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I have another prayer request. My son, Matt, he's been on anxiety medicine for years since he's been in college, and that's been he's been out of college now like 18 years. It hasn't been that long. I don't know, but anyway, he's been on anxiety medicine for a long time. And at the request of his wife, for some reason, she wanted him to take this other medicine also. And I'm not sure. He mentioned something about selenium or whatever. I don't know if it's some kind of natural supplication, or he called it medication. So I don't know. Whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, I forbid these medications to conflict, and I thank you, Lord, that you show Matt that he does not need them. And I cast down this spirit of witchcraft in the name of Jesus, and manipulation, and Ahab spirits and Jezebel spirits in that household. I thank you, Lord, for granting them repentance unto salvation. In the name of Jesus, and I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that that they both know, Lord, that there's only one way that people change for the good and permanently, and that's because you change them, you change their heart, you change their minds, Lord, and I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for salvation to Matt and Megan. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Lord, we put our faith together. We're missing. We count it as all done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, y'all believe with me. In the name of Jesus, I command this internet bandwidth to be just enough to get me through the night without any hesitation. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It is done. Angels, I send you out there to fix this for me. In the name of Jesus. Go, Ariel. Get her done, bro. All right. Anyone else? All right. You ready, Julie?
My God is with me. a glorious light beyond all compare. When there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you here on the earth. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Yes, I can see a light.
Good song. I like that. Okay. You got something floating up in front of you there, Missy. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody got a testimony they'd like to share? Ooh, I do. It's going to be a little, it's going to take a little bit, but you'll understand when I get through. Day before yesterday, I woke up. I'd been sleeping on my left side. And I woke up with pain in my left shoulder. After I turned over, I woke up and I couldn't raise my hand without just experiencing extreme pain. And I knew what it was because I'd had it in my right arm before, my right shoulder. And it's rotating cuff. And it gives you extreme pain when you try to lift your hand above a certain height. You can't lift it like this. I couldn't even scratch the back of my head. And the Lord healed it for me many, many years ago. And I woke up and I said, I got the same thing in my left hand here, my left arm. I said, what in the world is going on here? And it just so happens that the day before, I had read something from John G. Late. And I'm going to read it to you. You'll understand what happened. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. There was a woman there at John G. Lake's healing rooms. And she had been prayed for by some people there at Lake's healing rooms. And they couldn't get any results. And so they went to Lake and they said, Brother Lake, this is what we're doing and it doesn't seem to be working. We just can't get it to happen. He said, okay. He said, I'll pray with her. He said, I'll deal with her. And so they took her off to the side. And he sat down next to her. And he started talking to her. She said, yeah, I know. You just lay hands. I know. I know healing's in the atonement. Yeah, I know. She already knew all the doctrine. She knew everything. You see, people that know the doctrines are usually the hardest people to get healed. Because they already know it. Anyway, he went on to say, she said, everybody here had laid hands on me, so just go ahead, put your hands on me and pray for me, you know. He said, he stopped there for a moment, Lake did. He said, you're a Christian? She said, well, of course I am. Sure I am. And he said, well, you have the Spirit of God in you. She said, well, of course I do. He said, all right, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to lay hands on you. Here's what you're going to do. Now, listen to what I tell you. He said, I want you to go over and sit in the chair. And it was kind of like a Chase Lounge type of chair. He said, I want you to go sit in that. And he said, are you saved? She said, I told you I'm saved. So he said, so Jesus lives in your spirit? She said, yeah. He said, so I want you to go over there and sit. And for a few minutes, I don't want you to do anything else. I'm not going to pray for you, and I don't want you to pray. I want you to just sit there and realize that as much as Jesus is in your spirit, he wants to be in your soul and in your flesh also. And I want you to let him out of your spirit into your flesh. And she shocked. She thought, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. And she sat there for a few minutes and started thinking about it. And he said, is Jesus in your flesh yet? And she said, I don't understand what you're talking about. And he waited a few more minutes and he said, just recognize Jesus is in your spirit. He wants out. Let him out. Just let him into your flesh. Then a few more minutes. He said, so where is Jesus? Have you let him out yet? And this woman looked at him and she said, he's in my flesh, just like he's in my spirit. He said, yeah. And she goes, no, he's in my flesh, just like he's in my spirit. And she started getting more and more excited and started saying, I've got it. I understand. He's in my spirit. And he's in my flesh. And he looked at her, Lake looked at her, and he said, well, if he's in your spirit, then death can't be in your spirit. She said, well, of course not. And he said, well, then if he's in your flesh, then death can't be in your flesh. She said, that's right. He said, well, if death is not in your flesh, then you can't get sick. You can't be sick. She said, you're right. He's in my flesh and I'm healed, glory to God. And she got up completely healed. Why? He didn't lay hands on her, but she recognized and let the spirit that was in her heal her herself. You realize what that means? And I was thinking to myself, that's what he said. He said, what that means is we can walk in divine health ourselves. We don't have to have somebody else to lay hands on you. You can get healed by yourself. And I saw that and I said, Well, shoot. I had already been thinking about going downstairs, me and David praying for my arm. I just sat down in my chair here after praying in the Spirit and praising God and doing all that for possibly an hour. And I sat down in my chase lounge over here. And I just started imagining the Lord Jesus. And in my mind, I could see him. And how many of you know you don't have to feel God to know God's there? You know, you just have a knowing that God is there with you. Well, anyway, I started noticing that. I noticed that the Lord was there. And I did this. I said, if he's in my flesh, he's in my hands. And I just put my hand on my shoulder. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that pain to go. And I lifted my hand up. Glory to God. I lifted my hand up and I was completely healed. Completely healed. And I said, that is so awesome that we can walk. And he recommended that you do this every day. Have an intimate relationship with the Father and Jesus every day, and you will walk in divine health. And that's what I wanted to, you know, just put out there today. And it's not that we have to have the great man of God to come over and lay hands on you to get healed. You have the healer right inside you. We all do. And I'm not stopping there. I'm going some other things too that the enemy has put on me. And I'm going to tell you every time I get healed too. Because this is, I've never heard of this before. Has anybody ever heard of this? This type of healing? Yeah, neither have I. But it works, because I wasn't going to tell you unless I got healed, and I did. And there's going to be more healings too. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody here ever experienced a rotating cuff in their shoulder? Okay, you know what I'm talking about when it's extreme pain, don't you? Yeah, it's really bad. My brother and I had it at the same time back years ago when I first became born again. And that's when I ran across that guy in Mardell's bookstore, which is a Bible bookstore. And Trish, you hadn't heard this. Everybody else probably heard it 15 times. But anyway, this guy came up to me, and I was in the Holy Spirit section. And he said, man, this is a good section, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's pretty good. And I was a Baptist at the time, but I wasn't thinking the way Baptists do. Anyway, I said, sure is. He said, you got anything wrong with you? Now, you got to understand, I ain't never seen this guy before in my life. He said, you got anything wrong with you? I said, what a stupid question that guy's asking me. And my wife was with me. And she said, yeah. I said, he was diagnosed with rotating cuff the other day, and they're going to have surgery on his shoulder. He said, you want me to pray for you? Like the good Baptist I was, I figured he was going to go home, get in his prayer closet, and pray for me. I said, sure. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and I said, you going to pray for me right here in the bookstore? He said, you want to get healed, don't you? I said, go for it. So he did, God did, and I was healed completely, completely right then. It didn't cost $1,500 either, because that's what it cost my brother to have his surgery done on his shoulder. Cost him $1,500. Mine was free. I like free a whole lot better than I like $1,500. Go ahead, Julie. Oh, by the way, Teresa, I locked up with this guy for about 8 months, and we went all over the Mid-South watching, seeing people get healed, delivered, and set free for that 8 months. I think it was 8 months. Good guy. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Well, what you shared about that when you said that, and you woke up the other morning, yesterday morning, and how you couldn't lift up your arm and you had the pain you had and you knew what it was. I had a question. Was it the same arm or was it the other arm? The other arm. Okay. The other arm. So what brought back to my remembrance was just a testimony that when I was in my early mid-20s, I guess, and I was playing softball. This is when I lived back in the Midwest, and I was playing softball. And it was a, you know, co-ed softball, and I was out in right field playing there, and a pop fly came up to me, and I was running to catch it. Well, the second baseman, man, was running to come and catch it too, and we collided because I've got my eyes on the ball. And just, I, you know, pow, boom, I flipped over. I don't know how I landed, but only by God's grace, I didn't get hurt more than I did. But my glove hand, my thumb somehow got injured really bad in it. I never went to the doctor because I didn't have insurance. And, I knew it wasn't broken because I could move it and all that and stuff, but it hurt. And it turned all black and blue, and it was really painful, and I couldn't turn my wrist over very well and all that. And it took a while for it to heal, and, you know, I just, you know, I wasn't walking low or anything like that. I just didn't go to the doctor. Well, so anyhow, that happened, and it took quite a while for it to completely heal. In fact, there's still, by the grace of God, it is completely healed, but that flares up every now and then. And, well, anyhow, after I came to the knowledge of, you know, the real gospel and God healing and all that stuff, I was just, you know, going to work and studying the Bible and just living my life like I normally was. And one day, this hand started manifesting the exact same pain throughout my whole thumb. I couldn't hold on to anything with my hand. My thumb, it didn't turn black and blue, thank God, but I couldn't grip my hand. I couldn't write. I couldn't type very well. I couldn't grab anything. And I'm just like, what in the world? And what came to me is like, this is exactly how this hand felt when I injured it, but I didn't do anything to it. It just started happening, and it slowly got worse and worse and worse and worse. And when I got home from work, I'm like, I'm on my knees. I'm like, God, what is this? What happened? And all I heard in my spirit was, this is a test. Just really just clear as a bell. It's a test. I'm like, okay. All right. I believe you healed me, you know, or whatever I prayed. And it took 24 hours, but within 24 hour period, it was all gone. It was completely healed and it never came back, but it was like an experience. It was like very real, like, right. And it's like, that doesn't just happen, you know, and it was exactly as painful as this hand. And I injured it. And it was this guy just giving me a teaching lesson to trust him and to believe and not get afraid. But, you know, I went to work the next day and tried to do my job, and I really couldn't do a whole lot with my right hand. Fortunately, I didn't have to write anything or sign my name or anything like that day. But it was painful, but just somehow such things like that can happen. You didn't do anything wrong with your shoulder the other day, but you just woke up and it was there. Okay, it's a test. You know, anyhow, God's awesome, and he just wants us to be encouraged when we have these little trials with our bodies that he's still going to heal us.
Yeah. Amen. I have a question. Did the man catch the ball?
I don't remember who caught it, if he did or I did. I just know we flattened each other, and I flipped over, and I'm just like, am I alive? You know, where am I hurt? You know, and everyone is like, you know, they helped me get up, and, you know, and I'm like, shake it off. You know, okay, I'm okay. All right. And I just like, you know, I had the ball. You know? He had to be a big stud. You know?
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Subject was brought up earlier for 1 Timothy chapter 2. Y'all look it up. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Let's see. This verse applies to a woman bearing fruit. And the question was, is this about bearing fruit of Christ or in having children in the natural. And the 1 Timothy 2:15, but she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. And my position is, well, you have to take a lot more verses in context with that verse in order to come up with a reasonable answer. So I'm just going to open it up there. Does anybody got a right off the cuff answer for this? Yeah, Ben. I mean, Andrew, excuse me.
Well, the qualities of the verse in the back part there says, if they continue in faith and love and sanctification and sobriety, so that the sanctification is holiness. The faith and love are both fruits of the Holy Spirit, love and faithfulness. So faith that worketh love and sobriety, they're sober in their beliefs. The childbearing, you know, you can learn a lot from childbearing. You know, if you're going to teach your kids this too, especially because you got to teach your kids about the Lord. So I know there might be something to that, you know. The child has to be saved, and then the child has to grow up as well. In the Lord, it's time to be perfected in the Lord. So that's my thought on it anyway.
So you're saying, let me get this right. So you're saying it's the mother's responsibility to get the child started in that area.
Well, both parents would do that.
Yeah.
It kind of says, I'm assuming they're both childbearing parents. And, you know, the parents would be children of God too.
Yeah.
So they're bearing their own maturities. Like, I'm sure they would be more mature than their children, but the child still has to go through his salvation and go through the same things the parent did, and they're both maturing. The child is just being drawn by God, and till that specific day of salvation comes to him or her. And so what I'm saying is the parents are children of God, and when the son or daughter gets saved, that they would be children of God too. So the childbearing, I would assume is both bearing your own childishness to be more mature. I don't know if that's it. So that's my guess anyway. Praise God.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Well, the word childbearing, I looked this up. I was the one that asked the question, by the way. In the Greek is Greek 5042. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek because I'll just not do well. But it says childbirth. That is implication, maternity, the performance of maternal duties, childbearing. So my question was, does this apply to all women? Because not all women bear children. Not all women become mothers and bear children. So my question was, are we to apply this to that? She shall be saved, because in context it talks, you have to go back quite a few verses, but I'll just say verse 12, where it says, but I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over man, but to be in quietness, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman, being beguiled, hath fallen into transgression, but she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue. So that's conditional. So I just kind of want other people's thoughts to me, because if this is in the natural, right, some women never have children, but yet they're followers of Christ, they're believers, and they never have the opportunity, they never marry, or they, you know, they just have, you know, problems conceiving, you know, whatever. There could be reasons. So I was thinking that has to be that she should say, now if this is a married couple, right, that's what it would be pertaining to. But also, you know, that saved through her childbearing is the fruit of Christ. You know, everyone is bearing forth their own man child, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But then someone else had posed a question of what about spiritual children, you know, having spiritual children. So anyhow, that's what was coming to my mind. This is one of those questions in the Bible, you know, you take it and just totally in the letter, you know, because I don't think you can in this, but it does apply to children, you know, bearing children, you know, child rearing, right? Maternity, Charlene's duties, that kind of thing. So that's where I was coming back and forth in my mind. So I wanted, you know, someone else's thoughts.
Okay. Anybody else got any thoughts on that? I think it can be taken both ways, but mostly through the spiritual realm of it. What do you think, Missy?
Well, I think it really is mainly talking about women who do have children, because there's other areas that address things that pertain to women that aren't married. And my thought is that, just because it's talking about women doesn't necessarily mean all women. Because like Julie pointed out, not all women get married for that matter, or even have children. You know, not all women have children. So I think it is mainly talking about women who actually do have physical children. Although my thought is too, is, you know, there's also the spiritual side of it, you know, Christ in you bearing fruit of Jesus and bearing children of, bringing them into the kingdom and discipling them, nurturing them in the Lord, you know, but there's always that. There's always, you know, there's layers and layers of things you can see in God's word, you know.
Yeah.
Because it is spirit, you know. But I think the biggest thing, it is talking about women who have physical children, I think.
Okay, if it is, then why does he put a condition in there for being saved? If they continue in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. Let me see what Andrew has or Ben.
You know, it says that the older women have to teach the younger to be husband lovers. And I think that has to do a lot with agape love. I'm not sure. I didn't look at the verse. I can't remember where it is, but you see, the younger women sometimes need that extra help from the older ones who have a maturity, who've been reading the word and gaining fruit of Christ and, how to live sometimes, because when you are newlyweds, sometimes you know you need some help from people who've been through it. So that's something to be said for the time that they lived in, as opposed to the time we have today, because there's a whole bunch of different things today about interferences today, but I think that's part of it, because faith, love, sanctification, and sobriety, you know, sometimes you need another person, an older woman, just to come back over to you and sober you up sometimes, I would assume, the same way you would need an older guy to sober up a younger one that just came to the Lord too, you know. That's just natural. It's not that he's all that much more mature than the other person. He should be if he has white hair. But, you know, a child of God is a child of God. Maturity is based on glory and fruit, not time. Jesus was 33 and he was still the most mature Christian of them all. Even when he was walking the earth, he was the most mature. And you could tell by just reading the Gospels that when he explained the parable of the sower, they didn't understand what he was talking about it, and he had to convey it to them. And they were learning things, and we're learning things too. We're learning things even today. We heard some testimony about something we may want to try now. So, you know, anyways, praise God. Glory to God for everything.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, my thought, you said if, you know, she shall be saved through her childbearing if they continue in faith, love, sanctification with sobriety. Well, that's that salvation, instant and progressive. continue in faith, you know, my thought is, you know, okay, childbearing. That was one of the hardest and trying things I've ever done in my life. And just saying, you know, that it's, you know, okay, this is where the Lord has me, and this is what I'm called to do, and to bring up my children in the Lord, and faith in believing that, and not like, oh gosh, Lord, why, you know, or just like, oh, the suffering of motherhood, you know, or whatever. doing it without murmuring, complaining, which is not in faith. This is just what I'm thinking. And love your children, you know, and I looked to see for sure what that was, which I figured it was agape, which is, you know, God's love, you know, sanctification, you know, just being, you know, in all that, just being set apart from the Lord, from the world, and sobriety is of being basically, what did it say? I looked at it. Sobriety is sound of mind, self-control. So, yeah, just being a mother is self-control. Oh, you really, You know, what comes to my mind is, you know, it talks about fathers not provoking their children or, you know, just, and not, you know, you can discipline your children in anger and that provokes them, you know, and that's not self-control either. It's just, it's just the Lord uses these things to save us, to mature us in the Lord. Every thing in my life, you know, the Lord wants to use to grow me up in Him, and you know, and that's just one thing, you know, that the Lord, you know, used to help me along. Although, oh Lord have mercy, you know, you know, I don't receive any condemnation, but boy, do I wish I was a much better mother than I was. I was just only when my boys were small did I get saved myself. And then I was in the apostate system and I didn't learn a whole lot in the apostate system, although it helped me all along a little bit. But the Lord was so merciful and gracious and had to, you know, apologize for things, you know. And so, but yeah, I mean, it's just childbearing just helps you to grow in the Lord, learn self-control, learn to love, you know, and so on and so forth. Anyway, that's just my thought on the whole thing.
Being a mom is hard work, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, I can tell. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Thanks, Missy. That helps when you put it in a context like that, because I was thinking, it's like, well, we're all saved by grace. It's not through childbearing, you know. We're all saved by His grace. It's unmerited. As long as there is, you know, we do have to continue abiding in the Lord. And I guess, you know, for those who have children, that's maybe what God is saying He's using to, you know, to sanctify and developing, I guess, developing your spirit man. I don't know. Just thoughts. So, Missy, yeah, you kind of shed some light on that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Missy.
Another thing about the sanctification, I kind of just barely touched on it. You know, set you apart from the world, not, you know, like in childbearing, you know, raising up your children, not doing it the ways of the world, you know, not mm-hmm. taking advice from the world, not the just in general, not the ways of the world, you know. You know, just being set apart and made holy, you know, the Lord uses that to show you His way, teach you His ways of doing things. And just accepting that, and yeah, the whole grace thing. Yeah, grace. You need lots of grace. Being a mother and a dad. I wouldn't want to have been a dad. Nope. Thank you, Lord. I was a mom. Even though,
thank you, Lord, she was too.
Even though, you know, we have to go through the pregnancy and the labor and the birthing and all that stuff. I won't say what my grandma used to say about that, but anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you did have it like you had it. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, I want to, on Julie's thought, that we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, I forget what the word is, but, you know, a second witness on that. Galatians 3:26 to 29 For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But I think what it's talking about in 1 Timothy 2:15, being saved in childbearing, it has to do, going back to Ephesians 5, where, you know, God wants women to recognize the headship of their husbands and, you know, to recognize that, I'll just read it. And which is, you know, and when the husband is trying to follow Christ, I mean, that's a good thing. So, and, you know, God just wants women to recognize his headship. And let's see. So let's go to Ephesians 5. Submitting yourself, well, I'll start on 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. Well, I think that's what 1 Timothy 15 is talking about. As to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, because he's got to walk in God. He's got to hear from God. He's got to take care of his wife. He's got to take care of his family. You know, he needs God. He needs to be walking with God for the husband, and she needs to just respect that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Well, you know, the husband is the savior of his family, his wife, his kids. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And then the husbands, they have to do their part in God. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, the husbands are given themselves for their families, for their wives, their kids, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And that's what husbands should be doing for their families, that he might present it. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing for the man and, you know, and his family and his church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Well, that's what he does, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is the great mystery, because God wants the wife to be one flesh with her husband. Shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And in 1 Timothy, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. Well, yeah, well, that goes in line with Ephesians 5, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, if she continues in the faith, if she continues in charity, if she continues in holiness, if she continues in sobriety, she won't have any trouble in childbearing. Childbearing can be a dangerous thing. You need everything to go right. You know, the woman has to be nourished. The child has to be nourished. Everything has to be working, you know, just to get the child born. I mean, she needs God's help. You know, she needs God with her to be even to just birth that baby, carry and birth that baby without the miscarrying or anything like that. So that's, to me, that's what it means. You know, if she'll do what the word tells her to do, God will save her in the childbearing. To me, that's what it means.
Yeah, I think it means that also. Lots of meanings. Whatever. I found this out about the word. Whatever it means to you, if it gets you on the right road, that's what it means.
God'll get us on the right road. I mean, he conforms us to his image.
That's right. Anybody else? What do you think, Ben? No.
Well, I was thinking about that book, The Word, Woman, and Authority, and that verse where it's, that verse that we're talking about, you know, getting saved through their childbearing, it's the bearing of the child of Christ that's within you. I don't know, that's what I think about whenever I read that verse. I never really thought of it as a physical thing, because, you know, there's some ladies out there that don't get kids. And so, I don't know. It's a maturing sort of, verse. It's supposed to be talking about the maturity of being from a child to, well, you can call yourself a daughter or a son of God. I don't think there's necessarily a huge distinction, but, you know, we all want to be in the image of the Son of God, and that's, we gotta mature into that. That's how they're gonna get saved. It's nothing, physical.
Amen. An order has to be established, doesn't it? Okay. Anyone else? What do you think, Barbara? Did he really call my name? Is that what she's saying? Oh, boy. Okay. Okay, Barbara. All right. Is there anything else y'all want to discuss tonight? What did you think? Oh. What I said? Okay. Okay. Well, we've covered two pretty good subjects tonight. Yeah, Julie.
You know how on Tuesday night we were talking about what it is to press into the Lord?
You know, what it is, what?
What it is to press into the Lord, how we were talking about that Tuesday. So, so what does it mean to y'all? This is another question I gave to Michael, but I don't know if he saw it or not. What do we do when we're seeking God and it seems that he's quiet? We're not hearing anything and we're still not hearing. Pressing into Lord and we're, you know, we want to get close, but it seems as if God is silent. What does that mean? And what do you do? What does it mean? What do you do when he's silent and you don't hear from him?
Do you have a scriptural reference to back up your question? Go ahead. I'm kidding, Jim. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I do kind of think about Job and all that Job went through. And you didn't hear from God until the end of the book of Job. You hear from everybody else. And then there's another one on, you know, where David, you know, in prophesying. But, you know, it could have been him himself. And, Matthew 22, where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He wasn't hearing anything from the Lord. He was suffering. You know, and was it David or was he just prophesying that this would be Jesus? Because that's what a lot of Psalm 22 is about, is, you know, Christ's crucifixion. So, you know, I know I've had times where I've been seeking the Lord for, you know, for things and sometimes it just feels like I'm not hearing something. So I just wonder how y'all thought about that. What experience? I know, Michael, you said before you've had times where you weren't hearing from the Lord.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I found out, though, is that I hear from the Lord a lot better in the Word than from spiritual listening, if you know what I mean. Like a lot of you do, I utilize the Word to get answers at times, and it works. But we all want to hear from the Lord directly, which the Word is from directly, but we, you know what I'm saying, in the spiritual realm. And and through the years, I found out the best way to do it for me is to praise and worship the Lord before I ever start and get into spiritual, get into spirit myself, and then sit down, like we talked about earlier, and just listen for the Lord. Ask the Lord questions, and then what I generally do is say, Lord, what is it you want me to know today? I've got a whole notebook over here of the things that the Lord has told me. But like you said, there are times when I don't hear anything. I don't understand it other than the verse that says, when all else fails, just stand. Keep on keeping on. And know that God heard you. He's just waiting to see what you're going to do until you get an answer. How many times have we all gone into the flesh before we got in a word from the Lord that you had asked him and messed up? A lot of times I think he's just saying, if we're going to be, and I think you brought this up earlier, it's patience. Patience in listening to the Lord. So that's kind of where I am in it. I want to get, can I tell y'all something? And you won't tell nobody? Yeah. I want to be at that place where I can just call on the Lord anytime and he'll come back to me and give me an answer. Has anybody gotten there yet? Do you believe that you will get there? Okay. That's the key right there, is faith, to believe that you will. Because I know somebody that does all the time. Go ahead, Andrew.
There is a verse that says, I will not leave you orphaned.
Amen.
And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein, including us, including the adversaries, including the ones that are flesh and blood and are being governed by the principalities that they don't really want, of darkness and wickedness. So the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. You know, the question always comes up, well, why are so many bad things happening? And I think some of that was answered on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was watching a documentary on World War II. And immediately the verses that popped into my head was in chapter 8 of Romans, where he subjects all creation unto vanity, but He does it for a purpose. And we know that that vanity is, can get away on a person, even a saved person. Vanity got away with Esau when he didn't think too much of his birthright. He didn't think too highly of the Lord's word. But he says he subjects all creation unto vanity, and that's because we were all handed over to the devil because of the sin that Adam did. But he doesn't, how does it go in 8:20? He subjects all creation over to vanity, not of creation's will, but he does it. God subjected it, and so that you could become subjected in hope. In the hope so that the creation can escape the corruption that's in the world and become, by the glory of God, children of God. So it's something like that in those two verses. So why all the bad things happen is because, you know, those Europeans, they had access to the word more than any other languages in the world. And look what happened in their continent. Some of the worst conflicts ever. And, most of those nations have had the word for over 1,000 years. Some of them from the very beginning, like Rome and the Greeks. You know, we read about that. You know, he went to Corinth. He went to Rome. He went to those very cities. And even though there was the Roman Empire at that time, but I would safely say that for 1,700 years, they'd had the word. And they messed up a lot on it. And everyone in every person probably has someone who, in their family, who passed away in that Second World War. So why does he bring the war? Because he wants to show them that those verses in Romans 8, 20 and 21, I'd have to read them. I can't remember them offhand. He wants to show them that they're subjected to this vanity. He wants not of their own will, but by the will of him that subjected them, so that they would come to the hope of their calling. And that's the way I see it. Christ in you, the hope of glory, to escape the corruption. So, it's actually showing them something. It's showing them that they have a problem and they don't know why. They might be under the law somewhere, or they might have come up with a mantra or something. A saying that's not right. And like it was said, I heard someone say once that why do bad things happen? We've got a lot of bad Christians out there. Like it was said on Wednesday. And well, a lot of bad, you know, how can you ascribe like a dead uncle or something that someone might have, or the things that have happened, things that have transpired? If God's supposed to be for us, then who's against us? But if these things come against these people, you know, for instance, we know what it says in James chapter 4 about that, and we know what it says in Romans. You know, Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So if it's the fulfillment of the law, we don't have a covenant of law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And there's a lot of people who say, well, that's the law of the land, you know, and where are they coming from? And anyways, sorry to go on this tangent, but this is something I was just reading about today. So, and the Lord instructed me very well for this today. And I guess, you know, like, because yesterday I actually had tears come to my eyes when you were talking about the fear of the Lord. And when you associated it with, it is wisdom, as it says in Job 28:28. And he said that wisdom, the fear of the Lord gives you the wisdom. If you're going to have this reverence, respect, and honor toward God, that's wisdom in itself. So why do we get things happening? Just today on this outreach, someone was saying it's a test, and even the example that was given to us that you read there, Michael, sounds like a test. And why does God not answer? Sounds like a test. If he tests you and you know that he's not going to leave you orphaned, and you know he's sovereign, so it is indeed a test, and everything around you is God trying to reach specific people, even leaders of nations, I think, to get to a better understanding of him as to why things happen. Anyway, there's just so many things that can pop into a person's head about this. You just have to, let the Lord show you what he's doing. And there's just so much, isn't there? You know, I was thinking, you know, I was 13 in 1975, but my brother was 13 in 1962. Even those 13 years, there was a difference for his teenage starting life and my teenage starting life. And I can imagine what it was to be like 13 before there was any world wars. And what was going on then, you know? Anyway. Seems like we're progressing in the way the Lord would progress with people who are just not listening. With a church in general. And I don't say that to make judgment call. I say that to admonish and to warn, exhort people. Because I'm not here to judge. I'm not judging any nationality or anyone that did anything in the past. Because I don't even know anyone over there in my father's homeland of Poland. So I'm fully Canadianized. I have no association with anyone from family over there. So it's kind of weird anyway, but yeah, so there is quite a few things that the Lord is actually showing us for a well-read person in Scripture. It's kind of does revolve around those two verses, because everyone had to go, every saved person, including Paul the Apostle, had to go through 8, 20, and 21 of Romans. Everyone in this room had to go through that 8, 20, and 21 of Romans. There's no way I'm even debating as to whether Jesus had to go through it too, as a young lad. Because Jesus did have a parallel lifestyle to what God wanted him to do. Not saying that he had to be saved, but he had what he had to do. And let's praise the Lord God.
Amen. Let me throw another mix into this, if I can. What if the Lord is not going to talk to us until we finish the last thing that he told us to do? He does that. In other words, if he has instructed us to do something and we haven't done that, like a correction or whatever, and then you go back to him, Lord, how come I hadn't heard from you? How come I hadn't heard from you? Could it be that as soon as you do what he asked you to do before, that you'll hear from him again? And that's kind of what I was going through me a while ago. I hope I made that clear enough for everybody to understand what I said. Okay, good. Maybe it's time that, I'm just talking for Michael. Maybe it's time that if I'm not hearing from the Lord, I'll start doing what he told me to do before. So, go ahead, Julie.
That just reminds me of, I think it was a word maybe somebody had recently or something, but or somebody shared it. It was just that, you know, if God brought a correction to you and you're still doing it, it doesn't necessarily mean if he doesn't correct you again on the same thing that you're, you know, he still wants you to stop what you're doing or whatever it was. He's not going to keep telling you. He still expects you to obey him, you know, without having to be told, you know, and that's when we get our conscience, you know, pricked. You know, it's like, oh, I'm still doing this or whatever. He doesn't have to remind you again. He knows that, you know, and he wants us, you know, he wants us all to, yes, Lord, and you are Lord. I want to obey you. But he doesn't necessarily have to say it again.
Amen. That goes back to the fear of the Lord, doesn't it? If you have a healthy fear of the Lord, you're going to do what he says. And that's why he wants us to keep us in the Word all the time, and so we'll keep reminding ourselves who's in charge. Go ahead, Andrew.
I just wanted to make a statement. The fear of the Lord is mentioned in chapter 14 of Revelation. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, you should have gone ahead and read it.
what chapter and verse, Andrew?
Revelation 14.
Well, it's in Revelation 14. It's above the 14:14. So, because the 14:14 is the rapture, resurrection, so. It's in the first part of the fear of the Lord. It's right there. The angel of the Lord is saying it even. And you know, you gotta obey them angels, because they got the right message. A message is a message. And it's not something we worry about, because we're not at that page yet of history, of future, not history, we're not at that page yet of future, and we're not at the page of 13 yet, future, and we're not really yet at the page of the chapter 12 yet of the future. So we have to wait for those things to come. And of course, I think heaven's really busy now preparing everybody and preparing things to come to pass. And I think everyone here has an inherent desire to serve the Lord in some capacity through this most important time in history that's coming. And serve as a child, a son, whatever capability you have, you have to still serve the Lord in the truth and in the love and in His name and in the image. You know, image is a word where you have to use your eyes to see. And how do we see? By faith in the mirror. But there's the image, and the name and the mark that's there in chapter 14 too. 14 these things have to be a sign upon us. A sign that we don't speak against for sure. You got the wrong image, name, and mark. So you want the sign was a good image, name, and mark. So, it's a future item, and I don't want to say anything more than I just said, because it's God who fulfills it all. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, if he's gonna restore in us everything that the locusts, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the tanker worm took this fruit from God's crop in the latter rain, then we should be prepared for that. And we come to the point where then God will just do it. He'll reveal what He has to do to us and what we need to do and how our service should go. Like, you know, Gideon was a bashful guy before he started it. You know, some of them were thinking, well, I'm no great man of God. And they had their covenant, but we have ours. So, and they're, I'm not going to say anything. Just glory and praise to God.
Amen. Amen. Okay, anyone else? You might have got got a question. Anybody got a question?
I just want to apologize that if I got us on a different tangent or course about the childbearing is where we were, so I don't know if we want to go back there. Or
apparently not. We kind of left that behind a little bit. That's okay. That's fine. It's all okay. Wonder why Jesus told some of the people after he healed them, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody. Now, in both cases, first thing they did when they went out was tell everybody they knew. They did just the opposite of what Jesus commanded them to do. And yet they kept their healing, didn't they? Yeah, they did. Missy, go ahead.
Well, I think about that if that were me and the Lord used me to heal somebody, I wouldn't want them going around and saying, she prayed for me and I got healed, or she healed me, because some people will say that and it's like, I'd have to say, I don't want attention to be drawn to me. And I think that was why Jesus, you know, I think it was just humility and didn't want a big fuss made over him, although he wanted to heal people and stuff like that. But it was part of a humble thing too. I don't know. Does that make sense?
I believe that he wasn't healing people to prove who he was. Okay? That was just his nature. Yeah. He said he had compassion. He had great compassion. And when he had great compassion, people got healed. And I believe that he got crowded a lot too. Go ahead, Julie.
Let Debbie go first. I haven't heard from her tonight about anything. I've talked about a bit.
Oh, okay. So all right. That's good. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, I was just thinking, I've seen, read this verse before, you know, I've always thought that, like you just said, he was humble, and that his humility, and out of his humility, he didn't want himself to go, he didn't want to go boast himself about his healing. He just did it. He just did the healing in a humble way, you know.
What is compassion? You're on the right track. What does compassion mean?
I don't know. I mean, I can't give you.
It means love.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. But what I was wanting to say is that I think he knew. He knew the hearts of men. I think he knew they would go out and tell and spread the word about him, so more would start flocking to him, so he could heal more and do the work God wanted him to do. That's what I think. And humility was in this humility, that's how he did it. I think he knew they would.
Absolutely.
If I'm right.
Well, the thing about it is, another aspect of this is this. After this guy got healed, he disobeyed God and didn't lose his healing. That's one of the things that I was trying to bring out also. So that goes against traditions of men. Go ahead, Missy. I'm sorry, Debbie, are you through? Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
Another thought is, you know, a lot of people, he was a stumbling block to a lot of people, that he didn't come the way they thought he would.
Yeah.
And that maybe, my thought is, maybe he didn't want a big fuss made over it and trying to make him a king, because a lot didn't believe that he was who he was because he didn't come the way they thought he was. And maybe they would try and make him a king and lift him up to, you know, in that respect, you know, in some shape or form. That's part of the humility thing, but try and dress him up and put a crown on him and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know.
They were wanting him to get an army together to go ahead and throw the Romans out, wasn't it? Yeah, go ahead, Teresa.
Now, I looked it up, and it says compassion, deep awareness of the suffering of another accompanied by the wish to relieve it. A synonym is pity. Capacity for sharing the painful feelings of another with the desire to alleviate it. So I guess I'll stop with that.
Yeah, that's love. He had a compassion for people. That's the love that he wants us to have also, to go out there. When you see somebody out there and you know that God could use you to heal them and you pass them by, and you pass them up. I'm just thinking out loud here. Is he, what is that? You just passed up a way to help bear fruit for Christ. Yeah, Joe. That is,
morning,
you know,
everybody.
I'll clarify here in a minute. Go ahead, Joe.
I was just thinking, I was just starting to think now about this. I think it's the reason Jesus didn't want him to tell him, because during that time, before he get crucified, the day he get crucified, he's our example of what it should be, humility. You shouldn't be thinking about self. It's about God through you, who works through you. Because his main purpose was to set the captives free, deliver and heal. But his main thing, I think, with Jesus was to be crucified. When he crucified, he changed the whole covenant from the old to the new. He changed everything at the new covenant when he's crucified. So I think that was just for us, my thinking. He was our example of what we should be like when he's coming in us and not through us, or through us and in us. I hope that makes sense. Thank you. Any idea what I did? I explain myself right, Julie? Do you understand?
Yeah, I understood. I just was muted when I was talking.
Oh, sorry, Michael.
No, it's not your fault. It was mine. I was unmuted. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Joe.
I was thinking how you've already, you know, touched on it, but I was thinking too that, you know, God. Jesus knew the hearts of men, and he knew that when he healed somebody and he told them not to tell anybody and not to go, you know, that he knew that already they would do it, you know, but he wanted to see like their obedience. Would he do it? And he already knew that they would, because they were just so full of, you know, excitement and joy and like, look what this man did. And the other thing that came to my mind is the only time he ever wanted recognition was for his father. Go and tell them what you know God has done for you. He didn't want the attention on himself, but he always pointed that the father would be glorified, because that's why he came, and he wanted people to know that he was bringing, you know, he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. He wanted people to know that this is God's heart. This is what God wanted to do. You know, this is what he was wanting people to know. It's like, this is why I'm here.
Do you think he might have been evangelizing, asking them to go out there and evangelize?
Yeah. By just, you know, look what God did, you know, and when he did that, you know, everybody flocked. I mean, that kind of thing spread around to all the towns and countries, and everybody came. They heard about him. They all came. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to go far. They all came to him.
Amen. And if you look, he didn't preach the gospel before he healed. He always healed, and then he told them. Sometimes we get things backwards, don't we? Amen. All right, anybody else? He was bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, wasn't he? And that's what isn't that what he told us to do? And how do we do that? This is another question. How do we bring the kingdom of God on kingdom of God to earth? How do we do that? Yeah, Julie.
By preaching. Men preach, but you know, we evangelize. We have testimonies, and we're to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. You know, doing what believers are supposed to be able to do. You know, and it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, and bringing that down here and helping other people know they can do it too. You know, pointing them to the you know, the one who heals and the one who delivers and bring them to the Word of God.
Amen. Okay, Missy. Excuse me.
Well, my thought is bringing heaven to earth is in heaven there's no curse. So when you bring heaven to earth, there's no curse, period, you know. There's nobody's demon possessed, nobody's ill, you know. Everybody's provided for, whatever. So you pray for the sick, you raise the dead, you heal, you cast out demons and everything, because in heaven there is no curse. There's none of those things in heaven. So that's my understanding of bringing heaven to earth, bringing the kingdom of God to earth.
And so when we do that, who do we look like? Jesus. Oh, hi, Teresa, go ahead.
I think part of that also is abiding in the vine. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me.
Amen. Looking like Jesus. Looking like Jesus. And that's our ultimate goal, is all of us to be like Jesus. Because Jesus told us, he said, the works you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater works, he said, you're going to do. We got to do the works first before the greater ones come. Praise God. And we're doing it. And that's why God loves us so much. Okay, has anybody got a testimony of somehow that they brought the kingdom of heaven on earth? That's another question. You may start it off. One time went over to Memphis. We were doing that, walking around, praying for folks. Walked into this community center. we saw this little 4-year-old boy had club feet. Not club feet, real pigeon-toed, like this. He was walking like this. And we talked to his mama, says, what's the deal here? She said, the doctors want to break his ankles and reset it, both of them, and then let them heal and break them again after they heal and reset it. And before that, he'll be almost straightened out. And we asked her, had you rather not go through that operation and let God heal him? And she looked, absolutely. So we prayed for that little boy, and immediately those legs went just like that. And that boy, we told him, take off running. He took off running, and he went down a ways, and he turned around and came. Everybody in the place was going nuts. And the boy came back around. When he came back around, he started, I don't know if you know this, but if you walk funny all your life, that memory stays in your brain. And your feet will go back, try to go back, because that's the way you've learned how to walk. But mama, she saw that. And she went over there and she told him, she yanked him up there and said, as long as your skin is black and your eyes is open, don't you never do that again. That's what he told her. She told her. And that boy straightened up and he walked straight the rest of the day, the afternoon. And everybody in there that wanted healing got healed that day, 100%. All of them got healed that day. That's the kingdom of heaven. And we told them, this is God doing this. It's not anything that we could do. We can't heal nothing. But it's God. And God showed up, and that little boy was, I'd love to see him today. That's been 25 years ago. Anybody else? I started it off. It doesn't have to be that glamorous, it doesn't. Yeah. I walked up to a lady. I was going house to house. This was in an old place where old people live in these, what do you call them? Just places for people who don't have a lot of money. And this lady came out, and she had palsy. And I started talking to her, and I was just loving on her and telling her how she looked, and all this kind of stuff. And I just grabbed her hand, and I just sitting there holding her hand. And then I finally said, I command this shaking to stop right now in the name of Jesus. And let her hand down. Immediately she calmed down. And, she was quiet the rest of the time that I stayed there with her. There was another guy with me. A pastor was with me also. I was bringing the kingdom of God to heaven. How many of you have come across a homeless guy and gave him money? Something like that. That's bringing the kingdom of God to heaven. Yeah. Yeah, Teresa.
When we prayed for Terry and God basically raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
And got him back on his feet again.
Praise God.
Gave him his healing. Delivered him from all addictions. Gave him his mind back.
Praise God for that. That's bringing the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? That we all were a part of that.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. We all were part of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Had a guy call, yeah, Barbara, go ahead.
I think every time we pray for people, I mean, even those, you know, who are requesting prayer, like on the Signal chat and everything, every time we pray, we're bringing the kingdom, you know, down here on earth. We're doing, and we don't need an audience. The Lord knows, you know, what we're doing, and we're being a light. And, yeah, we're bringing the kingdom down on earth. So praise God.
Amen. This is just showing people the love of God, isn't it? That's how you do it. Glory be to God. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy. I see you.
I don't remember how many years ago this was, but Merle slipped on ice out here and cracked his head. Got it, you know. Sure, he had a concussion and went through all that. And it was like 3 years later, he did the exact same thing. And I prayed for him. We agreed and we prayed, you know, that that lump on his head was going to go down and he was going to sleep fine and he was not going to have any bad effects or anything like that. And I think it's hard to remember, but I don't think he had much of a lump, but he slept fine. He got up the next morning and went to work and came home. And I said, so how's your head? He says, great. He was ecstatic that he didn't go through everything that he went through before. You know, he was all happy. He was just big smiles, you know, and there wasn't any lump left there. And he was fine. So praise the Lord, you know. And then he did it again. It was like, I guess it's every 3 years thing or something. I don't know. But that time he didn't, you know, he didn't have any bad effects either. You know, he was just spitting mad that it happened again. And we were out here the other day shoveling snow and everything. And, I said to him, I said, now I'm putting, there's water dripping here at this one spot that wasn't at the same spot. But I said, I'm putting ice melt over here and I'm putting some ice melt here. I said, but you still be careful and watch where you're walking. You know, so that there was, you know, I put ice melt down so that there wasn't any patches of ice, you know. I said, I'm just watching out for you. Because he just goes on his merry way, you know, and it's like, and the three times that he did it was when he was going down off the driveway onto the deck to go and get garbage, you know, to take the garbage out. So anyway, thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
He doesn't have an aversion now to taking the garbage out because of that, does he?
No, but it's just, you know, you just got to be aware that there's snow out and then that there's ice, you know.
Yeah.
Don't go. Just pay attention, you know.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. You didn't had no bad effects the other two times. Thank you, Lord.
You know, every time we pray for something or someone, we do. We bring the kingdom of heaven down. Every time, because you're believing that it's going to happen, or you wouldn't pray, would you? Go ahead, Judy.
I need you to pray for me and bring the kingdom of heaven down.
Okay, we can do it.
I've been confessing that I'm healed, but the enemy is resistant and he can't. Just pray in agreement for me that all these aches and pains throughout my body and stiffness are gone.
Okay, y'all get ready and just imagine her healed. In the name of Jesus right now, I command this spirit of infirmity off of her, off of Julie right now in Jesus' name, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. You go from her and take every pain away too in Jesus' name. We command all pain to leave, all discomfort leave her body right now in Jesus' name, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, and don't you hang around either. I'm talking about right now. Jesus. Go. Body Hallelujah. Be healed and be whole in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. No more sickness. No more aches and pains. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Jesus makes me whole. Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Jesus. Thank you all. Amen.
Amen. Everybody believe that, don't you? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead, Debbie.
Like my little testimony from this evening, I called David Michael for a prayer because all of a sudden I was sitting here doing work on the computer for, you know, the timestamps, and I got a terrible pain in my jaw right in here on the left side and went up towards my nose. Then my head started hurting and I started feeling really weird, and I just called right away and they prayed for me. And I received it, and I was just coming against it too before I prayed, before I called them. And then afterwards, I was standing on what they imparted into me, even more faith by their prayers. I was just taking it and just coming against it too and declaring my healing. And I went out before I was blackened out here. I was in the kitchen. I heard what you said, David, Michael, about Jesus is coming in our flesh, our spirit and our, you know, our soul and our flesh. And I was commanding, I put my hand on my head and all that. I'm healed. Jesus in my flesh. So I'm feeling really good right now. I wasn't
Praise God.
Earlier, so I'm healed. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us to learn how to pray for ourselves in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, if you do it every day, you won't ever have that experience anymore. You'll walk in divine health. Go ahead, Vanita. That's awesome, isn't it, Debbie?
Yes, it is.
Can't understand you, Vanita. Cannot understand you. You must have your speaker on or something.
I'm going to turn it off. Maybe that'll help.
There you go.
Is that better?
Oh, yes, ma'am. A lot better.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, I'm just calling Kingdom of Heaven down here right now and taking authority over my father and any sickness that he has, any worries. He has fear and worry over his blood pressure. He's always, it just goes up and down and up and down, and he's going to the urgent care and ER and just back and forth, going to the doctors, can't find anything. And he's just living in fear right now, and he's got a cough and a little bit of a fever. And I just command that all off of him right now in Jesus' name. And we just take authority and just walk the walk of Jesus and speak the words of Jesus and call it to be true in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's not a physical problem. That is a spiritual problem. In the name of Jesus right now, I command fear to leave him. You go in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of infirmity to leave his body right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for the victory. from Vanita's father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Yeah, stress and anxiety go too.
All gone.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you that she's going to get the victory, or he's going to get the victory, and he's going to give you the glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Is this your father or your father-in-law?
It's my father.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you, Lord, for showing him who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I just thank you so much for teaching us all these different things that come out of your word. And we praise you for doing it. Lord, and even some things that we've never heard about before that we're utilizing in your fulfilling those prayers that we have. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. You're an awesome God. And one that if we speak to that mountain, it's got to move, don't it? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. You're an awesome God. And we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for the things that you're doing in us and the people around us, Father. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross, too. That gave us access to the Father, and we praise you for that, Lord. Glory be to God. Boy, we ought to be jumping up and down and shouting every day because of that. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for putting a smile on our face and a skip in our walk every day because we know you are in charge and nothing can hurt us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We walk in divine health. We talk the things of Jesus. We speak as an oracle of God. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And set a watch before our lips that we speak only as you tell us to, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you for all the healings tonight. Thank you for all of the deliverances tonight. And we just thank you, Lord, for being our God. You're an awesome God. And sometimes I think that we don't praise you enough, Lord. I'll put me up there that I don't praise you enough, Lord. But, Lord, just let it be on our lips every day. Every day. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, anybody else? Whew, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Joe?
I don't have a prayer request, but can I share something?
Sure.
On my Bible study yesterday, I was studying about 2 Samuel 18 and 19 and 20 about David. What struck me very important was when David, as king, God anointed him as king. So in other words, he can order people to be killed, to be beat. In other words, he's under command of his father to do whatever he wants. But when his son Absalom was killed, he wept and he says, my son Absalom, because he was against him, but still it's his son. So I was asking, he had to obey God, but as a father, he still wept because he loved his son. He was a disobedient, but he still loved his son. It's so, the humility of David to show his absolute authority under God, but he still have a father's love for his son. He was still disobedient, but he still loves his son. And it was so awesome to study, to show how good David's example he was in the Old Testament of Jesus. As Jesus was still loving his father, he was obeying him, but now I have to come to die because of the people he had to send. And that was just an awesome message for me. That's awesome about our the love of God works in people, but the highest authority is still Father God and not your family life. But it still is how his love is, he still loves his son. That's all I want to share. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. What is that noise? Oh, okay.
It's heartbeat.
Yeah. Cha-tong, cha-tong, cha-tong. All right. Well, it looks like we've gone through another night tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done with us. Thank you, Father, for all the testimonies. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to keep our eyes on you, Lord, all the time. In Jesus' name. Bless everybody tonight or tomorrow, wherever it is and wherever they are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed, yeah?